So, where is he? We talk about him for the last couple of weeks with the Christmas story and all that. Where is he? I was sharing with Tina about two-year-olds and three-year-olds, and we got one that Charlie, the girl, comes and sings sometimes. Her son is named Marcus, and he's two, and he's wild. And so you've got to be chasing him all the time. You never know where he's going to be. Now, he likes to climb, and I ain't never seen a kid climb like him. And I mean, he can climb it almost like Spider-Man. So the other day, Charlie was looking for him and couldn't find him. He was in the washing machine. Now, she got one with a big tub, and she got one with the agitator in it. So, you know, and the lid was open. It probably was no danger for him, but never thought to look in there for him. But eventually she did. She looked, "Oh, Marcus, what are you doing in there?" Well, I think most parents at some time in our life with children who hide when they've done something they know they weren't supposed to do. In fact, as a parent, I think all of us know that something's up when your unusual, inquisitive, underfoot child goes entirely missing in the house. Nowhere to be found. At that point, it's best to check the cookie jar, wash machine, take note of the windows and see where the cats are, and your hiding child sometimes give you a sign of where he's at, or maybe something going on within his spirit, and he's hiding for a reason. The fact is that children are afraid of the anger sometimes and the disappointment they bring, or the judgment from their parent or anyone else that they wish to please. And I think this is normal stuff for all kids. Most of the time, kids' fears are put to rest as the parent kindly explains whatever the consequences were and then gives the child a big hug and a kiss, assuring them that they're still loved and cherished. That's what God does for us. But not all households are that way, unfortunately, in our world today. Some children are merely afraid of disappointing a kind and loving parent, but there's others who are physically and emotionally terrified by the caregiver, who may or may not act violently or abuse. But whether or not the child has done anything at all wrong, that kind of hiding is not a child in contrition, but a child in survival mode. We got a bunch of them in our country. We got a bunch of them in our own neighborhood. It happens more than we can even think about. Children like these kind of children need protectors. And I know that I love history. And over a century ago now, there was a horrific crime. And it occurred in Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution. The Russian royal family and their children were unexpectedly shot and with a bayonet, putting them to death by the communist revolutionaries of that time. But then on the other side of the coin, back in World War II, there were heroes, a lot of heroes. And they rescued a lot of Jewish babies from the Nazi death camps. So throughout our world, there are those who would threaten the lives of children and those who would risk their lives to save them. In Jesus' time, the greatest threat to both adult and child in the entire realm was a crazy king called Herod the Great. He was a Roman-appointed king in Judea, and Herod raised the prosperity level of the Roman Empire in Judea by building projects and building aqueducts and theaters and all kinds of stuff to help out the Romans. He was a Jew, but he was appointed there by the Romans. He was jealous. He was a bloodthirsty king who even had some of his own family put to death, fearing that they would be disloyal to him. Herod feared and persecuted anyone who had the audacity or the folly to challenge his rule. So when Herod got wind of the old prophecies about the birth of the king, the Messiah, who would rule Judea, that was coming to fruition, He was ready to squash that situation of that opponent. Boom. But here comes the Magi, the educated courts of nearby countries who studied the ancient prophecy through the manuscripts, herbs, and all kinds of medical stuff. They were very wise. They watched the stars. They were mathematicians, and they were dreamers in a good sense. Several of them were convinced that the Jewish prophecy of the birth of the Messiah had come to pass. And they pointed to a series of cosmic events that led them to that. Maybe it was Jupiter and Saturn coming in. There was another one that came together. There was another planet that only happens rare, and I think it might have been
Mars.
But they were educated to that effect, and they knew that this king was born, and they followed the stars. But little did they know this little Jewish king was no friend of his young competitor for the throne in Judea. Herod was known to squash uprisings with particular brutal haste. So when he heard that a child had been born of two parents in the line of David in the last year or so, and whom all the known world was curiously celebrating, isn't that interesting? We still, the whole world celebrates the birth of Christ, even today. Herod felt his throne was threatened. So the king mastered a plot to kill this little child. His first attempt was in vain, so he got together and asked the Magi, go and find him and come back and let me know where he is so that I can go and worship him also. But the Magi, being of course the Magi, was smarter, and they saw right through what Herod's plot was immediately. So after they visited the child, they departed by another route, never returning to Jerusalem. So then fast forward, Herod realized that they were not going to assist him in locating this child called the King of the Jews. So Herod made one of the most horrific, bloody decisions in the history of Jewish culture. He decreed that all children aged 2 and under should be slaughtered in their homes. Only this way could Herod assure that he eliminated this threat. But now the Magi understood quickly the kind of person that Herod was and what kind of motives that he had and reputation. So they not only didn't return to Jerusalem, but they advised the Jesus' family to flee quickly to Egypt and live there until Herod's reign had ended. The family did just that. Immediately they packed up and they moved to Egypt. Most likely there was a big population of Jewish folks there in Alexandria, Egypt, and that's where they stayed until Herod the Great died. The child, the Messiah, was saved from what we now call the massacre of infants. But many were not so lucky. Can you imagine the terror for both children and parents alike, with nowhere to go and nowhere to hide? It was because of this terrifying experience that even as Herod the Great died, the scripture tells us that Joseph still did not feel safe bringing his wife back to their home in Bethlehem. Due to Herod's son, Archelaus, who now held the throne in Judea. But instead, he took them back to Mary's home in Nazareth, where they could raise their child quietly under the radar of the authorities for many years to come. And then voila, at the age of 30, Jesus would emerge from his preparations to begin a ministry that would change the world. For people like Herod, people addicted to power and control and money, status, prestige, their addiction can breed paranoia, jealousy, envy, and even rage. Anything and anyone can easily become a threat to them. And when an invisible threat emerges, deep and disarming fear can set in, causing them to become violent, unstable, and even very dangerous. For Herod, Jesus was that invisible threat. He became obsessed with the question, where was this child? Where is he? In that movie, The Shining, in the film, an alcoholic writer becomes deranged with a case of cabin fever and seeks to harm his wife and his son. And he searches and he searches, and he's tortured by knowing his wife and son are hiding somewhere in the house, but he can't find them. Convinced they're a threat to him and his work, he says they gotta be extinguished. It's a brutal depiction of an obsession and paranoia issued in sin and in evil in that story. The young boy does escape with his mother, and the danger is no longer there. But think about it. In our world, the question is this: where is he? It's always there. We can't see Jesus. We know he's here. We know he's here for comfort. And for some, and then others, fear. But if you remember in the scriptures where Jesus comes to heal and cast out demons, they recognized him, the people recognized him immediately, and they started to tremble. Never estimate the power of love, kindness, salvation, and mercy, evil and sin, fear in the presence of Jesus. He casts out all fear. He is with us in the spiritual realm. Because he said, I got to go to be with Daddy after the crucifixion. He says, but I'm going to send one greater than I. Go to the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit. So in our lives today, we often lament that we can't see Jesus. And we wonder, is he really and truly there? I can tell you he is. And he's looking for trouble in the world. And if you see trouble, you'll find Jesus. You will know him by his light and by his miracles, like the metaphors of a discerning sword, as we talked about last week, and a stumbling stone. Jesus' presence is the greatest fear of evil in this world. For Jesus towers over evil, topples sins, vanquish forces of darkness, and chases away those who would live in the shadows. So when we get back to the baby Jesus, Jesus may have needed protection from the Magi, from evil Herod, but the only truly person that was afraid was Herod. Because in his heart he knew that nothing could overpower the force of God. That's why he wanted to get him. And like the good shepherd, Jesus is battling all of the forces of darkness in the day and time that we live. You never know. You know that crazy guy in Tennessee last week, in Nashville? There's crazies like that all around. Thank God there wasn't anybody that we know of that was killed except for him. But if there was, it's just like in the towers in 9/11. You know, there was a lot of people in that tower, a lot of innocent people. Did God take care of them? Yeah, he did. Was it terrible? Was it horrible? Yeah. But because the love of Christ and his willing to say, okay, I want to show the world that no matter what happens, we have eternal life. I'm going to look out after my own. I'm going to look out after all of my kids. And he does that. You don't need to seek him as the Magi of old, because Jesus will find you. This is Epiphany morning. Epiphany being on Wednesday. This is the Sunday before Epiphany. And I hope and pray that you will find comfort in the power of Almighty God. With all this crazy stuff going on, the COVID and rumors of war and all the things that we talk about in the book of Revelation. But you know that the hope that we have in Christ dispels all of that fear. The victory of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, continues vigilantly with the Holy Spirit in our world and beyond. Evil's foe is your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Out from Pennsylvania, the land of the taxes, and they're still going on up there. But they have boldness enough to put on their license plate. In Pennsylvania, you have a friend. Well, it's not the same kind of friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything in prayer. And of course, there's a couple other verses. But that's the key, is to take to the Lord in your personal prayer, your private prayer, no matter where you are, and you will have the peace that passes all understanding. You can't explain it, but the peace of God will come over you. What a joy that is.